and welcome to the Department of Metal Antiquities,
where we remember what everyone else has forgotten.
As always, it is Nick Cameron, also of Glacier Musical, joined by my good friend, the musical gigliator Duncan from Leeds. How are we doing today, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I'm not sure if that was a real word that you just used, but it should be. So
I'm not sure if it was right.
I'm doing all right. Just having a mild panic because we've got recording the album in about 3 weeks. And basically it's not finished at all. But it'll be fine.
Sounds like when I moved last year. It was time to move. We weren't ready to do it. And the mover said that when we got here. But before we go too much farther, I want to apologize for my voice this week. I sound a little creaky and crackly. Went to the St. Louis Battlehawks game last night. And I did scream on every down, so I don't
have my... What do you scream? Do you just go, ah?
Yeah, you just go, ah, because they play in a dome. So the idea is to get just the ambient noise to 110 decibels so they can't hear the play they're calling.
I see. Right. Well,
American sports are very ungentlemanly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, cool. So... what are we talking about today, then?
Well, we are talking about the first and only solo album, and that is good or bad for you to decide momentarily, of John Christ, formerly the lead guitar player of both Danzig and Samhain Sawen Sahain, however they pronounced it. I still don't know. Probably should know, but I don't know. And I learned this morning he did one album. He did the last album of Sawen Sahain Sahain, whatever, Destro, and... that was 2 years after the first Danzig record. So we were talking about that. And this week we have a couple of special guests from my hometown of St. Louis, Missouri. We have Zach and Brendan from Abodonia. I believe I pronounced that correctly. How are we doing today, guys?
Not too bad.
You were almost on the money, man. Abodonia. Mm. Pretty easy. It's all good.
All right. I assume there was a trick.
That's the big thing normally is the spelling. They spell it with two B's and one D, or there's tons of different ways. It's open to interpretation.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, my name is Nick, spelled N-I-K, and I get some great stuff coming back. My favorite is N-I-C, because clearly they know something was different, but they couldn't look at the email address to see that it says N-I-K. That's too far away on the screen they're typing on. So I get passive aggressive. I will... especially if it's somebody that is I buy from, you know, I'll send them an email back with just, you know, I'll erase my signature, just N-I-K. And then if they don't answer, then I italicize it. And then if they don't notice then I start misspelling their name.
Nice.
Fair enough. Being a Brendan, my name has always been misspelled. And the fact that I'm in a band with a Brandon is torture.
Why absolute didn't you do torture. What Kiss did?
What, at just one point, wear face paint as a
no,
cat?
No, not that. At one point in time, there were three dudes in the band named Paul.
I remember that.
I forgot about that.
Ace Frehley's real name is Paul. Paul Stanley's stage name is Paul. His real name is Stanley. And Eric Carr's real name was Paul. So they were all Paul. But they were like, nope, one Paul.
Well, one Paul. You being a native St. Louisan will understand. I am named after two blues players, so I take a lot of
Shanahan
pride.
And whom?
My middle name's Curtis.
Aha, Shanahan and Cujo, 1993, the glory days. Yes, sir. The glory days of those wonderful first round playoff exits.
My dad was a little bit behind. I was born in 97. I'm just glad he didn't name me after someone from the Bulls.
I don't know. To me, basketball doesn't exist. We've never had a team here in my lifetime, so
yeah,
I'm not a big sport. I don't know.
I'm not a huge baseball person either. I played it for a long time when I was a kid, but it loses its allure the older you get. I think,
really?
Especially with my generation, everything is so you're getting stimulated by like online stuff that's constantly like changing and adapting. So a sport that has stayed the same, you have a lot of truists who are like, oh, I love it because it's the same. It's the one thing that's not changing with time.
I disagree. It does change with time.
I agree too.
We talked about that last night, yesterday when we were at Cyberg's for the Battlehawks game.
Oh my God, I love Cyberg's.
Good restaurant.
Not a big fan, but you know what? That's my buddy. Well, they had a shuttle down to the stadium where we didn't have to pay $50 to park. So it felt like a win-win there. And they had beer. So beer, wings, shuttle down. Everybody wins.
Absolutely.
Except for the checkbook. The checkbook got a gut punch. But
I know how that goes.
Oh, same here.
There were three of us. I don't know how we got to that number. We got to a three-digit number. I don't know what the hell happened. But yeah, it happened. And well, where was I? Oh, yeah. So we're talking about baseball. And I'm like, you know what? Bring back the steroid era. This is so boring. You know,
we're not going to have another 700 hitter. We're not going to have another 700 home run player. No. Like it's not going to happen for years.
I remember watching Carlos Beltran in the 04 and 06 NLCSs against us. And it was like, holy crap. Every time that dude was there, he might hit six home runs in that at bat.
My dad is a diehard Cardinals fan. The biggest baseball thing that I'm a fan of is Pete Rose getting tombstoned at WrestleMania. So
this will be the last thing I say about baseball. Let Pete Rose back in. Everybody did it.
Okay. Absolutely. Agreed. Absolutely. Agreed.
But before we go on too deeply, I want to get, we'll circle back to St. Louis based stuff to leave Duncan out of this completely. Duncan is in the UK. So that's why we had to do it at the time we did. So
awesome.
We've got a spectacular time zone thing going on here. But
UK is absolutely on my bucket list. We did our first run of merch for this album, and take into consideration the fact that we started this year with under 1,000 monthly listeners, and right now we're pushing 45. Wow. We sold out of all of our merch on our first weekend run, and we sold half of our inventory of CDs that we ordered. One of those came from Europe, and it was a huge shock to us because it was someone that was very, they messaged us directly. They're like, can I order a second one? Will you open it and sign it and send me one that's unopened that's signed?
Wow.
So the fact that our Spotify reach has already got us, the second most popular place that we are played right now is France, Germany, and then the fourth is Australia. That's down to states and countries.
Nice. Wow.
Thank you for slumming it with us. We appreciate that.
Absolutely not. That's any St. Louis people always get a pass, right?
Hey, oh, yeah. You know, it's like I always tell friend of the show, Nelly. I mean, I assume he's a friend of the show. He's never said he's not coming on.
Good point.
So that's what I'm going with. But give us the 30-second elevator pitch on who Abadonia was. And I'm going to ask you to pay special attention to the deathcore label. Because in the promotional emails I received, it said death metal, or I wasn't paying close attention. And then in everything I saw doing some research on you guys today, trying to get myself up to speed, being professional and all that stuff, everything came on. I saw a lot of symphonic deathcore. So go ahead and give us a little bit of info there.
So the sound itself is kind of digivolved into something heavier. Zach and I were the original members that started it back in 2019. And when it started, we played in a previous band together that had toured and gotten some shows, mainly around St. Louis. But we had kind of that Children of Bodom style sound, because I'm a huge fan of Alexi Leo and like the Scandinavian metal, the Viking metal, melodic death metal.
Everybody who's not a fan of his sucks.
I completely agree.
Agreed.
Completely agree. Alexi Leo is the entire reason I picked up a guitar when I was 16.
Children of Bodom was one of the first bands. When I started my writing for music, it was just me buying CDs or me getting CDs at the library. And that was one of the original things I covered for myself before people started actually like talking to me.
My older brother was a huge metalhead, and he brought rock band home. And I was a freshman in high school. I played on the football team. I listened to like rap music and stuff, and he's like, hey, just play Rock Band with me for a minute. I was like, okay. And Done With Everything, Die For Nothing off the Blood Drunk album came on, and we played it, and I was hooked, man, because I was a Motley Crue kid growing up. That was the one album my dad always listened to when my mom listened to like the Bangles and country music. My dad had that high energy Dr. Feelgood album. And
I'm just gonna say one thing: if you say one unkind word about Motley Crue fans,
no,
because I'm one of them. I
love Motley Crue.
I still remember going to my cousin's house when I was like seven, and they handed me the cassette tape for "Shout at the Devil." And I looked at the back of it, and I go, "Why are you listening to girls?"
I thought the same thing. That's Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee were very, very.
No, no, it was yeah. Line. Vince, was goddamn pretty. I mean, that's, dare I say a little sexy to a 7 year old?
Absolutely. And the thing is, when you, I think that guys like oh man, this if there was anything that made a headline, that's what's about to be said. I think that the makeup used by those guys, like Vince Neil, Tommy Lee, is what inspired a lot of modern makeup.
But it was KISS that inspired them to use makeup, so it all goes back to New York City.
Yeah, but all the contour and stuff, like all the TikTok people right now got it from Motley Crue, and you can't tell me otherwise because TikTok started around the same time The Dirt came out.
You know what? I'm not gonna fight that. I will give that.
That's a really good point.
That's a big win.
But let's go back to Apodonia. Let's go back to you guys. Oh, yeah. Motley Crue's been talked about enough this week.
So shifting into the deathcore stuff, we recruited some different members over the time, just trying to find that right lineup. You know, when you start out, we jumped in head first really quickly and brought in a bunch of people who were just around us. And then it kind of shifted to, okay, we're going to widen the map and just throw a dart everywhere and see what we hit. I randomly added someone on Facebook and was like, you play drums? You want to play drums for us? He ended up living in Michigan, and now he's our full-time drummer.
So I found the drummer back in the olden dial-up days. It's like a guy pops onto a chat board, and I'm like, what's your name? Jay? Oh, you play drums?
Fax me your resume.
Come to my buddy's. No, we weren't anywhere near that cool. It's like, no, come to my buddy Tim's house tomorrow at 4. He showed up at 6.
he had the job. Drummer fashion. He's got the music thing down.
Oh, yeah, he was fine. We stuck with him for 3 years because we couldn't find anybody else.
So the death metal thing, we kind of started to shy away from. We picked up when we started getting produced by Chris Wiseman. He's in Shadow of Intent and Currents. That's where our sound really kind of spun a bit. And he helped us find that modern sound, but also being able to blend that melodic orchestral of stuff. So to kind of blend the two together, I was a huge fan of trying to get that Children of Bodom melodic style, but maybe just keep it in the symphonic aspect with some leads. And we've got two different guitar players who have very different influences. So you have two very different solo styles. And I think that was a big thing Bodom was famous for as well.
One of the things I noticed as I listened to your EP today, there were a lot of little things here and there that I heard from a lot of my favorite bands growing up. You know, there was a bass riff that reminded me a lot of Metallica's My Friend of Misery. Mm-hmm. There was a song that had the Deicide kind of screeches and growls. And it was cool listening to that, just hearing all that little cool stuff. Just keep in mind, it's not insulting. I have no idea the names of any songs ever.
No, that's all good.
Because I in that, which is what makes this really hard when we go track by track, because I go for me, it's a big blob. It's one piece, and that's everyone.
Yeah.
Remember when I was reviewing Chapo at that little club in the Grove that closed after a week.
El Chapo?
No, Chapo. There. Oh no, it'd be a lot cooler if it was El Chapo. Probably get a lot more hits as long as he shared it on his Facebook page. Honestly. But I don't know if he'd be sharing it on his Facebook page. I mean, he seems kind of private. But I talked to the singer. I'm like, yeah, I really loved your new album. I thought it was a great step forward. He's like, oh, what songs you like best? I don't know, all of them. Because that's true. It's always that way for me. So that's why I don't remember song titles. But anything to say, Duncan? Anything to add here?
No, not at the moment. It's cool. It's all good. All good.
Don't want to leave Duncan out, but we're gonna go go a little bit out of his realm of expertise here. So okay, so you guys are claiming to be from St. Louis, county or city?
County here, more city.
We kind of claim the Midwest because of our current lineup. St. Louis is home base for sure. I moved down to Springfield, so I am currently down here.
Oh my!
But I'm from St. Charles County, right there off of Zumbel and Fifth Street.
Oh, I know that area.
And Zach lives in South County. We actually shot our music video at Limp Brewery.
I'm like 15 minutes out of the city.
Gotcha. Yeah, I live at I live in the heart of Southampton. So I've lived in the city multiple times. My first ex-wife actually well, I guess I should say my only ex-wife was from St. Charles County. And then that was how I got out of the city, because she moved into the city and went, nope, we're not doing this anymore. So thank you very much. I'll go to Crestwood, I guess. Okay. Oh, so the real question.
Crestwood.
You would not. Let's not get started on Crestwood. Because
let's not.
Don't get me started on St. Charles either, but that's besides or South County. Anywho, so let's ask the big serious question. Which are your favorite St. Louis sporting teams?
Blues.
Cardinals right now. I've been first of all.
It's preseason. Lots of hope.
Mm-hmm. I've been watching the World Baseball Classic. I have just been glued to the TV.
The World Baseball Classic is my favorite named sporting event, because mm-hmm. the first year they do it, it's now the classic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything on its first time is the classic, but here we go.
His Blues jersey disagrees with what he's saying. It's peeking out of his closet saying, hey, let's go. What are you saying?
First of all, I have one there. I have one right here. I love the Blues. I have another one there. I have a lanyard right here.
We're trying to go for Bedard, man. No problem with that. Ain't no shame in the game.
Hey, man, right now we're sticking with the Red Wings.
To my right, Curtis Sanford, game worn Peoria Riverman, 06-07, home set one. Curtis Sanford, game worn ECHL, period two, 01-02, ECHL All-Star.
Okay.
Fredonia Blue Devils, a buddy of mine gave me Division II college. Ryan Johnson, game worn Missouri River Otters jersey.
Wow.
Eric Brewer, game worn 07-08, set one away jersey. And St. Louis Bandits, Pat Maroon's team when he was in juniors. Mm-hmm. And the Summum Chiefs of the LNAH, the Quebec Fighting League.
My two big things that I have Tarasenko's first ever goal as a Blue, signed by him with COA.
That's pretty cool.
And then I have a puck signed by Bobby and Brett Hall.
Oh, very nice. I've also got the only goalie from AC St. Louis jersey. He gave it to me off his back in the last game.
That's so cool.
Awesome. My dad worked for the St. Charles Chill when they had their one season here. That's how I met Bobby Hull and Tony Twist and Manny.
Yeah, I was at Bobby Hull night. All 9,000 people there.
Yep, I was actually. If you saw a kid with swoopy hair that was sitting on the bench that night during the game, that would have been me.
I loved that because they had all the kids. Actually, it was 6,000, but for that season, being as that the average attendance was about 1,500, and the games were just probably the worst games I've ever seen in my life. And I love minor league hockey. I stopped going in December. I went like, this is dumb. This is not fun.
My dad would say that is sacrilege. There were a couple decent players on that team. He had Fox and Pisano. Pisano was huge, but he kept, when he'd get into fights, he'd end up breaking his hand. So he would take time out and he missed almost
Frankie
half the
Littlejohn
season.
Came back in the middle of the season. And I didn't even know that. That was one of my favorite players from the Otters. Yep. And God, there was a Steve somebody. We called him Gorak. That wasn't his real name. I don't remember his name, but. Jamie Rivers was the head coach. Jeff Brown was the coach after he left. But
that's my dad and Jamie are best friends. They every time he goes up to a Blues game, they stop and hang out a little bit. It's super cool. Very nice guy. Cool.
So now we got to talk St. Louis style pizza. As we all know, St. Louis style pizza is probably the most superior pizza brand. If you like saying I can eat a whole pizza, because it's almost impossible not to.
I agree.
What's the best one?
Ooh.
Emo's.
Wrong.
Emo's is really good.
Have you ever had Riley's?
Yes.
No, I have not had Riley's.
You've had Riley's?
Yes, I have.
Where?
It was in St. Louis. My friend ended up picking it up.
Okay, Riley's is at Arsenal and... Oh, shoot. What's the name? I used to live in that.
At least I think that's what it was. Back when I used to play, before... everything closed down when we started playing shows. They brought a pizza in after one of the shows that we played, and it was kind of St. Louis style pizza, but it wasn't Emo's, and it was fantastic. But I was like, this just makes me want Emo's.
Well, Riley's is my favorite. We used to go there every Monday and Tuesday because it was half price. So you got an extra large pizza for $6.
That makes it a little bit better than Emo's then.
Yeah, Emo's is delicious and delightfully overpriced. It's
They have one down in Springfield here, and it's they don't cut the pizza all the way every single time. I've ordered one, so you'll have it, and the crease is there, so you can see that they were trying to cut it, but it's not actually cut. And there was one time. Oh, wait, how open are we to the whole the green life thing with the plants and the smoking stuff?
Nah, go ahead. It's legal in Missouri. It's fine.
Okay. I got really stoned and I'm sitting on the couch trying to pick up this pizza and it's not cut. So I'm trying to like tear it. And keep in mind, like, this was when I first started smoking. So I'm trying to like pull it apart and I'm thinking something's wrong with me. And there's just sauce everywhere and I couldn't get it. So I woke up the next morning and this pizza has finger tears going halfway across it because I just said, screw it. And
well, you know what? If it has tears, then you know it's bad St. Louis style pizza.
Yep.
Because St. Louis style pizza, Duncan, just for your edification, St. Louis style pizza is basically, we call it cracker pizza.
Okay.
So the crust is about as brittle and crispy as a Ritz cracker.
Yes. Right. Super thin. Right. And they use, most of the stuff is pretty standard, but then they use Prevel cheese instead of mozzarella.
Okay.
Which so I'm sure you don't even have over taste. There.
I don't think so.
We're going to have to ship him an Emo's pizza. They do ship pizzas now. So we got to ship
him. We could just ship the parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let him make his. Nah, you got to give him the authentic experience.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can get them in the store now, and they're actually pretty good. But so what would you, okay, well, I don't know. And I don't know where to go here because I think we should change the topic, but I don't know where to go. Any thoughts, anyone?
Well, I think we should talk a bit more about Abadonia. So what have you just been doing now? What have you got planned coming up?
Almost too much to recollect at the So we signed on with DM booking management in December. Dustin had started reaching out to us in October saying, hey, I love you guys' stuff, I'd love to work with you. And we had worked with somebody in the past in management that it just didn't really work out. It was kind of a difference of level. We weren't quite at a level that we needed management. So it felt like everything that was being thrown at us was just kind of not in our wheelhouse yet. So when someone new came around, there was still that aspect of, are we ready? Are we at a level where we actually need that? So when he came in, we were like, we didn't think much about it. And then he kept pushing for, Zach, what was it, 2 months?
Yeah.
That he was like, oh yeah, let me do this. Well, then he messaged us like right before Christmas and was like, hey, there's a festival that I just got you guys booked on. He's like, here you go. He's like, you guys can say no, but I already got you confirmed for it if you guys are up for it. Also, this is what I'll do. Here's what I want to offer. Please let me work for you. And we were like, let's try it. And then, like I said, January, 800 monthly listeners. Now we're sitting at almost 45. We went from having 3 dates as of January booked to we have almost 30 that are lined up right now, spanning everywhere from as far west as you can go to about as far east as you can go. So this year went from our development year to, okay, hit the ground running, take off right now, get everything done.
And I feel like I'm falling face first.
Sometimes you do, cause you're not used to it. Once you get a team behind you, you know, once you have merch people and once you have a manager and once you have people reaching out, asking you for interviews and it's crazy. It's so cool getting to do stuff that when you first say you want to be in a band, this is what you imagine doing is press and playing shows. So having the opportunity to do that has been crazy. And everything that we have coming up, some new music already in the works. Zach, actually, I woke up this morning to about 15 different messages and he's like, sorry. Oh, wait, I told you. He's like, because the last couple days I've been like, come on, guys, I got that spark going. Let's go. Let's get going. And I was like, okay, cool. Fine. Everybody's just been busy because we just got back from our first couple shows. And Zach sent me something this morning. He's like, I have all this different stuff. Here you go. It's like, man, hang on.
Very, very cool. We are getting close to where it's time to take our break to play a song. So I'm assuming you guys have a song you want us to play. I probably should have asked that before now. But here we are, too late. So before we get too deep into everything, now, everybody knows that the St. Louis metal scene probably is underrepresented in the national scene. So I'd love for you to tell me a little bit about who you've played with here and give me one story that's just absolutely awful about somebody. You don't got to give their name.
Ooh. Okay. So bands that we got to play with,
Don't worry about it.
Sorry. Sacrifice the Sacred, Ending Orion, Blood Oath, White Rose. Those guys were all absolutely fantastic. They killed it. Was there one more? I'm drawing a blank because it is, well, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so that's early for me. But there was Blood Oath, Ending Orion, Sacrifice the Sacred, White Rose, and then Us.
No, that was five. Yeah, those are the ones.
Yeah, all of those guys were fantastic. I've played shows with a ton of different local bands around the area. There's a band called This Is Me Breathing. They're insanely talented. Their vocalist and I go a while back. Fantastic guys. I think that St. Louis just needs a little bit more attention in terms of tours. You see a lot of them going through like KC, Chicago. A lot of them tend to pass up St. Louis nowadays. It's like Red Flag is one of the coolest venues in the country right now.
It's the KC, Chicago, St. Louis little triangle. Nobody plays all three.
Nope. They always pick one or two.
Right. And we miss half of everything, and I don't think we should.
But, yep.
I mean, if Metallica comes here, they're only playing seven cities in the country or in North America next year. And we're getting it. So, I mean, surely you guys from Iowa can, you know, make it down. But
yeah,
not naming any names.
Right. Why would you play to Dubuque, Iowa, that has less people than St. Louis when the people in Iowa Iowa, you're 4 hours away from the next big city.
Yeah. Or I've seen people play Springfield and Columbia. And then like St. Louis, nah, screw those guys. What are those 4 million people there got for us?
I will say the comparisons between the Outland or the Riff, which are the two big venues down here, versus Red Flag and St. Louis. Red Flag has a little bit more room, but in terms of local support, Springfield has an insanely cool local scene down here that really took me by surprise. I had almost too many bands that were wanting to hop on the bill for our album release show. And I looked into all of them, and it came down to a band vote of, okay, we're just going to have to send it to management and let him pick, because we couldn't decide what bands in St. Louis or Springfield.
Well, there's a great band out of Springfield, the Springfield Joplin area, Gravehuffer, I absolutely love them.
They're fantastic. And then Glass Lotus down here, they're really good. There is Primitive Rage. St. Louis has huge ones too, but Springfield, Joplin area, Order of Elijah, we're taking off on tour with them here in 1 month to the day.
Very cool. Wow, very cool.
Oh no, here we go again.
But before we get going too deep into this, I apologize, just gotta keep things in the bite size.
Not a problem.
Okay. So what song are we playing, and tell us about it?
I will let Zach pick, and then I will tell you about it, because I ended up writing the lyrics for the album. You can pick Dots or Karis.
I was definitely going to be picking Dawn of the Serpent.
Yeah.
It's just it's got so much energy. I love it.
Yes. So Dawn of the Serpent was the last song to be written instrumentally, but the second to last song to be written, or the first song to be written lyrically. Dawn of the Serpent was kind of the concept behind Abadonia. Abadonia actually was written around Dawn of the Serpent, the concept. When I started the band, I had this idea in my head of self-realization of, like, everybody looks for something, right? Everybody looks for something to get out of bed in the morning instead of looking inward and being like, I've got this. That self-realization of I am capable of bringing into this world anything that I want, and being able to tear down the structure of whatever is around it and replacing it with something that's your own and carving your own path in life. So for me, it was going against everything that is the status quo and creating something new.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, we will play Dawn of the Serpent now, and then we will be back to talk some John Christ.
Awesome.
Desire all is serving, I should.
And we're back. Great song, everybody. Thank you guys. Thanks for letting us do that. As everybody noticed, we went a little bit longer on the first half and we left out all history of the album. So I'm not going to give you the condensed history. I'm not going to rob you of content. I am going to give you all of the history I can find on this album. John Christ recorded a record called Flesh Caffeine in 1999.
Yeah, that really is about it, isn't there? Isn't it? Yeah, he'd left Danzig. I'm not quite sure what happened there exactly. And then he did an album a few years later, 4 years later.
Yeah, that's it.
It is.
I mean, usually there's something on the internet.
There are two things I can add. Firstly, what was the first? I've forgotten the first one. I'll go for the second one. The second one was apparently he was meant to have It's just him and he's got a drummer with him. He plays all the instruments and sings, but he was supposed to have a vocalist, but various vocalists that he had in mind all either couldn't do it or pulled out at the last minute or whatever. So he ended up being the vocalist and he was never meant to be the vocalist on this, apparently. So there we go. That's what someone said on YouTube anyway. So it may not be reliable, but
There was also almost a side project with Randy Castillo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's all the history of John Christ between 1995 and 1999.
That is it. Yeah. So, okay. Should we just go for this track by track?
Let's just go for it. I don't have a good pun for the first one. So you got one, Duncan?
No, not really. The first one is called Flesh Caffeine. So it starts off with a kind of almost groove metal-ish riff, which I guess reflected the times, late 90s, a bit of slide guitar. Then the band come in, or the drums and bass, etc., come in, and some bluesy, snarly vocals. And I don't know, man, I'm not sure about the vocals. The kind of cheesy, feels a bit labored. Lots of coffee metaphors, you know, kind of, I guess, supposed to be amusing. I don't know if it quite is amusing, like sexual coffee metaphors. Kind of almost a bit of a southern rock groove metal thing going on, but feels a bit pedestrian to me. The chorus is just the title shouted. It's a bit cheesy. It's not grabbing me. Later on, it gets a bit more metalish with some double kick drumming and some very James Hetfield-esque vocals. There's some lead guitar. It's pretty good. He's a great guitar player, don't get me wrong. And then for a while, it just goes off into this this other section, which is like a classic metal guitar harmony shuffle kind of thing. And that bit's okay, actually. I kind of like that. And then we're back to the verse. But yeah, this first track doesn't blow my mind at all. It's a bit strange.
So the logo itself is very posh to me. I love it. Like the JC incorporation, it looks like a lot of like your modern metal sigils. I feel like that would plug in very well.
That's a $5 word.
Yeah. I feel like that would plug in very well to like a modern environment. Like it wouldn't look out of place on a tour flyer with modern stuff. However, this song, listening to it, I don't know how else to describe this, so I am sorry if this ruffles any feathers. However,
we have taken every one of your metal gods to task on this show.
Taking the piss out of everybody, bringing them down a peg.
There's one episode where Heaven and Hell or Nick craps on Dio.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so this is like before nu metal was properly produced. This is like nu metal produced by a grunge producer with Rob Zombie-esque vocals.
Wow. Okay.
And yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
Yeah. And
all right,
whole...
Zach, what do you got on this one? Brendan is just kicking him in the junk already.
Pretty much, like, it's just like the only thing that is really standing out to me is like, yeah, it does sound like very familiar to Hetfield, and I'm definitely a really big Hetfield fan. I just, after he said that, I just can't get that out of my head now.
All right. Well, I'm just going to say this, you know, telling my family this morning. All right. Because I always listen to these in the kitchen while I'm cleaning the kitchen or doing breakfast on Sunday. All right. I'm going to make breakfast, listen to the album for the podcast. My wife goes, what are you listening to this week? Flesh Caffeine by John Christ. And she might as well have said at that point, tell me why.
There you go. That is track
nothing
two.
Nothing but a heart. Sorry.
Right. Well, but, tell me why. Starts with some. Sorry. Yes. Yeah, starts with some groovy squealy harmonics riff. So he's quite famed for his use of pinch harmonics. Apparently, is mm-hmm. Mr. Christ. So
not a good thing to be famous for.
Well, there you go. There's worse things. But then it kicks in with
bad pinch harmonics.
Yeah, it kicks in with a kind of fast rock and roll-y metal thing with the snarly vocals again. I kind of like this one more. The chorus is quite good. It's got some nice harmonies. It's almost like feel-good kind of 80s rock and roll metal, and it's quite catchy. Again, they've got the hook with the repeated song title. Quite like it. I don't love it at all, but it's all right. And there's some nice guitar bits. There's a guitar solo where it jumps to a few different keys. It's very Guns N' Roses-esque, very like a slash guitar solo. But yeah, that's what I got for this one.
The guitar solo was very captivating to me in this. Definitely for someone who has ADHD and my mind's constantly racing, they shift it enough to where it constantly is re-grabbing my attention. I love the toms in the intro. That being said, this kind of makes me hungry for not in a bad way. It makes me hungry for that Zakk Wylde era with Ozzy Osbourne.
Mm.
That being said, it's always that's never a good thing to hear.
Jeez. No, I actually really did enjoy this song whenever I was actually giving it my first listen through. I really do like his use of what you guys were saying. It's just a lot of really interesting techniques that he's using with his guitar solo. Like, I feel like that's definitely really, really strong point of the song. But also that intro, very, very strong intro. I'm always definitely a fan of like more like just stuff that you can get behind with a tempo, just straight, just more crowd control stuff that you can do with an intro. It always kind of draws me in a little bit more.
I think, you know, so far I'm probably liking this album the best. I mean, you guys, nobody liked the first one. I loved the first song. The lyrics were absolutely idiotic on a good day, but the rest of it was fun. And Tell Me Why is fun. And this doesn't make me want to stop the world.
Nice. Well, that's track three. So this starts with a chugging guitar intro with drums that build up the whole jung, 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 jung thing. And then it kicks in with what I would describe as a bluesy grunge groove rock riff. And it's not bad, not the best riff I've ever heard, but it's quite good. Different, almost spoken kind of vocal style. Quite interesting, progressive arrangement and structure. The chorus is quite good and catchy, a bit grungish. Solo in a different key again, kind of like that. And then it breaks down at some point to like clean kind of gothic blues guitar arpeggios and dark gothy vocals. So yeah, I quite liked this one. Didn't love it, but it's pretty good.
This is one of the more unique tracks in my opinion off of this. And it, to me, that spot where it drops off and it's got that bluesy stuff, you can hear he's doing maybe some finger picking on it too. And I'm a huge sucker for those clean guitar techniques to where it sounds like two people are playing the guitar, but it's just one person doing it, like Tommy Emmanuel. Not so much like Tommy Emmanuel here, because Tommy's more in the classical style. But like you said, I think you nailed it when you said gothic blues. At first, I was like, what? I see it. The chord progression's kind of gothic. Mm-hmm. And the clean stuff over top of it is very bluesy, very, very bluesy. So I think you hit the nail right on the head there. The intro gave me some Metallica vibes and takes you on a kind of a ride through the entire thing with dips and takes you up and then brings you back down into that clean section. Very big fan of it. I like this one.
Cool.
Definitely.
Zakk, what do you got?
I actually really enjoyed the song, like also whenever I was giving it one of my first listen throughs. I love like their use of just building emotion, building tension, and then just completely just releasing it whenever they do go to the chorus. But then whenever they go back into verse riffs, they actually really tone it back down on like what Brendan said, using some of the like the more clean patterns that they use. I really like their use of more of I don't want to say dissonance just because it's not dissonance, but I love the chords that they use. I just love the feelings that they're actually able to invoke in yourself whenever you're listening to it.
You'll like it a lot more when I'm gone.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't get to talk yet. I like you jumping in on the pun, though. I appreciate that.
Was a good one.
Let me just drop in on Stop the World. I'll man, stealing my thunder. Give it back. I'm not talking about this one. I'm throwing my pen down and I'm just gonna pout for a minute. Go ahead,
Brian. All right.
On, well, we gotta hear from you. The big chief, the tribal chief himself. Let's hear
all right, right. Well, this one, the lyrics are cheesy, and when she's talking about she gives birth in a bathroom stall and throws the baby away. I'm like, dude, if you're in a public restroom, it's probably a safe place already. Duncan's Safe Place is a place in Missouri where you can just leave the baby.
Okay.
And I'm like, I got five of those in my neighborhood. It just feels lazy. You had to walk to the trash can. Anyway.
Duncan's face when you said it's a place where you can leave your baby. He's like, oh.
Yeah, it's a thing we do here, apparently. Apparently we do it enough that we need places for that.
All right.
Just like, I'm done with this baby.
Talk about crowd.
Did the lady die in the bathroom stall she gave birth? I mean, this narrative doesn't hold up.
No, it's and to me it brings up the vision of some woman like squatting primally over a toilet.
And no one noticed.
Yeah.
No one noticed the afterbirth. Suspension of disbelief is very serious on this track. Sorry, that's all I got.
All right. Well, yeah, well done. Well, I'll just say before we go on to track four, I'm gone, that with reference to the interesting chords that Zach was mentioning, as I understand it, John Christ studied jazz. I think at some point in his life, a little bit, like maybe when he was in his 20s or something like that, he did a university course studying jazz and music theory and stuff like that. So yeah, there are some interesting kind of slightly jazzy chords.
That would definitely explain why he held his guitar above his nipples.
There you go. All right, so speaking of jazz, yeah, I'm Gone starts with slow acoustic guitar, kind of dark, jazzy arpeggios, I would say. And then it kicks in with fast-ish, pretty fast, kind of grungy, metally riffs. And then it goes into this kind of rock ballad thing, and it loses me, and it's kind of cheesy, and I don't really like it. But then when it comes back to the chorus, I'm kind of into that again. But then it goes off on a load of different meandering sections. It's kind of progressive, but it's also kind of, I don't know where it's going. It just feels a little bit incoherent. Then there's a big bluesy metal guitar solo, which I kind of liked. And then it ends with those acoustic arpeggios again. I don't know. It feels like he's trying to be prog rock, but it just kind of comes out all over the place.
Brendan?
A little underwhelming, the song. Mm. I share an affinity with Duncan for bluesy guitar stuff. So
same.
The bluesy stuff very much so. I liked the somber beginning to it, and honestly, I think that they should have kept the energy of that. I feel like having that somber track all the way through, instead of constantly trying to do this, you need some that just kind of go like this and streamline their way into whatever the intro brings in, which is something that Abidonia has done a couple times too, where we almost try too much to bring different riffs in, and it kind of feels like you're doing like a riff salad is what a lot of people will call it. So inconsistent. This track's very inconsistent.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Zach.
Yeah, I'd definitely have to agree with Brendan on that. He was actually going to touch on one of the things that I was going to say about Abidonia kind of doing the same thing, but I was also going to add like that, just more saying that I really do agree with Brendan saying that he should have just kept that entire, the entire feel of the intro and just ran with it, because the intro is so, there's so much emotion going through the intro, and then it kind of loses it whenever you bring the entire band in. It lost it for me when in that one, and it was a little bit hard to get through it, but I definitely do appreciate the guitar solo on that one as well, though. It's definitely well done.
You know, for me, this is the textbook case of a solo artist lacking the ability to self-edit. And self-editing might be something you don't want to say to somebody. You know, there's been a lot of people where if you say to them, this is too much, you're overcooking this, they might think you're talking dirty. You're on mute, Duncan. Duncan, you're on mute.
I'm here. I think you've missed a track out, though, Nick.
Wait, yeah, this is going to be your judgment you went day to talking.
I'm sorry, my brain went wonky. Wasn't Judgment Day? Wasn't that Terminator 2?
Yes, it was. But this is also track 5 of this.
I was born in 97.
All right. Well, make me feel nice and old. Thank you.
I'm just actually looking to see who produced this to see because it hasn't got its own Wikipedia page, but I'm just seeing if there's anything on.
Yeah, this is the only album we have done in 100 plus shows where the album is so unknown. It's the only thing I could find on it was Encyclopedia Metallum, and that information was like nothing. No major reviews, only a user review. I mean, I don't even know if this thing actually really existed except for the YouTube stream.
Exactly. At least it was on YouTube for us. Yeah, I'm just looking now. Recorded at various places. Producer credits. Here we go. Credits. We'll get here. Engineered by, mastered by. So who produced? Here we go. There you go. Self-produced. John Christ. So we didn't have anybody going,
no.
Just tone it down. Change this around. Don't do that. Maybe don't do the silly coffee sexual metaphor. You know,
here's my advice: get a producer. Always get a producer.
Oh yeah,
always get that extra set of ears, man.
It's so
that's helpful. when you're writing music. Demo syndrome is a very real thing. You spend so much time focusing on one song that one riff will stick out to you because it's newer and fresher, and then you'll want to fix the other stuff to go around that. And this seems the flesh part, not so much. The logo is very flesh, but Caffeine is very fitting for this because it is all over the place. It's eclectic. Mm-hmm. It's high strung all over the place everywhere.
Completely agree.
Well, okay, track 5, Judgment Day. So this starts with big kind of metalized Black Sabbath riffs with those squealy harmonics again. And then it kicks in kind of fast-ish and a bit groovy. And then it goes all blissed out with these big, long, sustained chords. And then it breaks down to clean guitar with quite an interesting chord sequence that I liked. Again, a bit jazzy. And then you've got these dark kind of gothic rockish vocals. Then the chorus just kind of sounds like Metallica. And I'm going, And then it breaks down to these slow chugs, like just jung, 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 that gradually speed up and speed up and speed up. And then kicks back in with the slow verse bit. And I'm kind of thinking, this is outstaying its welcome here. And then I notice it's like 6 minutes, about 5 minutes, 58 or something. And I don't think it needs to be. And then there's a solo and it's like, this is fine, but I'm kind of bored now. This feels a bit unnecessary. Then more chorus. I don't know. This one just lost me halfway through and seemed a bit all over the place again.
We're in the middle, and the middle of a record like this is never going to be good.
Well, there you go. Brendan, what did you think?
Kind of the same issue that I had with the last one. I love the intro. Love the intensity of it. I'm a huge sucker for pinch harmonics in general. So when that came on, like you said, very Black Sabbath style, actually it kind of made me think of Black Sabbath, the self-title. I really enjoyed that. And then it dying down and changing up again, just the riff salad of it, is each of these feel like they would be 2 or 3 good songs if you would split them up. I think that this song has 2 good tracks within it.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely see it too.
Yeah, Zach, what have you got?
I'm with you guys on this one. This one lost me halfway through. Like, it just kept dragging on. Like, it, don't get me wrong, like the intro, it has, I feel like every song on this album has a really, really strong intro, and then it just dips off so quick. What's up?
The chorus was very good.
Yes,
I did enjoy the chorus.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely another really strong point of the song.
We're listening to a solo album that has a lot of great stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot of pieces that don't fit.
Yes,
agreed.
And with that, now is it Talking Dirty or did I get confused yet again? Okay. Talking Dirty, insert amazing pun, copy, cut, paste. Duncan.
All right. So this one starts with a down-tuned riff. I'm not sure if it's drop D or maybe even slightly lower than that. Almost a bit of a stoner, rocky, groove metal-y thing. And it's quite a good riff, actually. And then it builds up and there's some more bluesy riffage going on. And yeah, I'm, you know, I'm liking it. But yeah, more of those squealy harmonics. And I guess you'd call this sort of bluesy, sleazy rock, that kind of 80s, you know, slightly almost Guns N' Roses-y, sleazy rock thing. The vocals are a bit ludicrous, just over the top stuff about talking dirty, basically. And yeah, the chorus almost goes a bit hair metal. You've got like those gang vocal shouts that you get in all the Quiet Riot songs. Yeah, you know what? For what it is, it's quite good. It feels much more cohesive and consistent. And yeah, it's a bit silly, but I kind of like it.
What do you got, Brendan?
It's porn metal. It's absolutely porn metal.
You know what? And that was a thing that happened in the 80s and 90s.
I don't know how clean my language needs to remain for this. So
fairly clean.
I mess with this very much. I absolutely enjoy the song, that sleazy porn star dancing style vibe of like it's very dad rock. Like I feel like you could have some guys in denim jackets opening for a band that plays this song, and the band is called like Dad to the Bone.
Oh, I God. Totally oh, that. God. Okay. Brendan, I love where this is going.
Jesus Christ.
However, I want to hear this for the next 3 hours. We're going to run out of time. Zach, give me two sentences on this one.
I love this song.
I love this song. I love dad rock. The first thing that I heard that I thought of whenever I was listening to this was a band called Texas Hippie Coalition.
Oh, and
yeah, right. I saw him in Mayhem 2014. Great time. But
all right, guys. All right, guys. I heard what you said.
Yeah, it's still fun though.
No, that's the next
definitely
track.
Fun song.
All right, Nick, what did you make of it?
I heard. I'm not. I'll,
oh,
I,
you
I
heard what you said. Oh, that's the pun. Right, I'm with you. Right, sorry. That is the pun for the next track. Well done. Right. Well, this one's kind of like bluesy rock and roll with bluesy vocals. It reminds me of the Eagles of Death Metal, who I don't think existed at this time, but it's that type of vibe. And the chorus is nice and catchy. And yeah, you know what? I quite like this one. It just kept to what it was doing. It feels like this album's best when he's just kind of having fun and not trying to do too many weird things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this one worked.
What do you got, Brendan?
I agree. I agree with him. I think when he said Eagles of Metal, really threw me through a loop.
Eagles of Death Metal.
It's a band.
I love that band.
Okay. I know Eagles of Death Metal, but for some reason, I thought you said Eagles of Metal, and I was
but
like,
you know what? Either way, this works.
I still see it.
Yeah, I could see it. This seems like
this is Don Henley's metal band right now.
That like almost hippie, but a little pre-hippie rock music. Like the
no, it's the post hippie. It's 1971, where it's still kind of hippie-ish, but it's starting to get dirty.
Exactly, getting a little muddy. Like I could totally see this being on the opening for what is the name of that music festival? Why am I blanking on this?
Coachella?
The one Jimi Hendrix played.
Woodstock?
Yes, I could see this.
Woodstock.
I could see it at Woodstock.
How do you forget Woodstock?
That's what I'm saying,
man. Here's the thing. I'm 25.
I'm 25. What's your point?
So, Woodstock to me is not something that I was able to.
I went to
it. I didn't go to Woodstock. Therefore, you know, if you would have said.
So much respect for Woodstock.
I do too. So I love it. But for some reason, look, with all the festivals going on right now and all the bad festivals going on right now, it's not very good for me to, it's not easy for me to remember all the good festivals. All
right.
I'm stuck on your Blue Ridge, your Irate Fest, stuff like
that.
Oh
my God, don't get me started.
All right. Okay. Oh God. What do you got? What do you got, Zach?
This is just an overall, like, just really fun song, like, from start to finish. I feel like you could just drive, like, with the windows down, 85, just doing a relative speed limit on the highway and just enjoy life. Like, that's literally the entire thing that was going through my head the entire time I was listening to this.
You know what? I will definitely give you that. This is definitely the kind of song that you are, you know, the speedometer is going to go up as you're cranking it, and then all of a sudden you're going to realize your passenger is going to look and say, "Slow down."
Hey, well done. That is the next track, Slow Down. So this is like a slow blues feel. It's got that dump, da dump, da dump thing going on with a really nice blues riff, actually. And then in the verse, it goes a bit more metalized riff-wise, but it's still got that slow blues feel in the bass and drums. Bluesy vocals, the chorus, well, it's kind of a pre-chorus. It goes a bit Alice in Chainsy. And then the chorus, I think, is just like the hook, again, repeating the title of the song. And there's a really nice bluesy solo. So yeah, this one works for me. I liked it.
Brendan.
I really mess with this. For some reason, are you any of you guys WWE fans?
No, I got out of wrestling when it went porno. I liked it better when they lied to me and like made it look like it was a real thing.
Gotcha. Well, this seems like something that Andre the Giant would walk to the ring for, like during or Big Show, like one of the bigger guys, one of those rockabilly, like not rockabilly, kind of, but that, like he said, the duh, 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 duh,
It's like
duh,
how the Von
duh.
Erichs came out to Bad to the Bone back in the way old
Yes,
days.
exactly. See, you get it. But this has like a certain feeling of impending doom, like some big corn-fed dude's about to come down and hand you the
Oh, Big
backs.
Bubba. Big Bubba's
Yeah,
coming.
big old Bubba, Bubba the Love Sponge.
Oh,
Bubba.
well, I was thinking Big Bubba. Well, no, I'm thinking Big. Wait. No, it was Big Bubba. That was Jim Cornette's bodyguard, Big Bubba.
I love Jim Cornette,
How could you
but
not?
side thing. Yeah, I absolutely love that kind of down tempoed like bluesy stuff. Big fan.
Same, same. What do you got, Zach?
Pretty much them. And I feel like everything that Brendan has said, I just agree with. And it's weird that we just shared those same just, I guess, just feelings on the entire thing.
Yeah,
I
fair
love
enough,
how
fair
they
enough.
start off on this song. Like it's so just it's powerful. It's just in your face. It's just like, I'm here. I'm making a statement. And then whenever it gets up to the guitar solo in that, I felt like it just fit really well, like the slides, just the double stops and everything that he was doing. Like it fit the song so well. I feel like this could easily, if he did anything else, it could be a big staple of his just category. Like it's just good.
Interesting to note, we haven't really mentioned much about his solos. And the solos are, as Duncan likes to call them, very twiddly, but
Yep.
they're necessary twiddles.
And
Yes, they're not
it's tasteful,
tasteful
tasteful
twiddles,
twiddles. Yeah.
very tasteful twiddles, and that's great. And that it really enhances the song rather than enhances his ego in pants. So I don't have a good pun for this. Next song is Shadows.
All right, Shadows. So, this starts with some piano bass notes and some, again, bluesy acoustic arpeggios, acoustic guitar arpeggios. It's a nice chord sequence. Then it kicks in with like dark minor key, slightly bluesy acoustic guitar strumming. And there's some good vocal harmonies going on. This, again, a bit of a dark gothic blues thing. But to me, this gets a bit boring. I think the chorus is kind of lackluster. It just
A
feels like you're like,
7-minute
oh.
song gets boring? Oh,
Well,
how could
yeah, and
that
you're just
be?
like, oh, okay, are we in the chorus? This doesn't feel very chorusy, but they're saying shadows a lot, so I guess it is. And then eventually it just kicks in with this load of rock riffs at double speed and a solo, which is actually better. But then it goes into another different fast bit with another solo, which just feels a bit superfluous. And again, it feels like he's back to just throwing all these different ideas in that don't quite fit together. And he hasn't thought the chorus through enough for me. So, yeah, not too into this one.
I'll
Duncan,
yeah.
my man, we have been friends this entire stream. And now we draw the line in the sand.
Okay, go on
This is
then.
probably my favorite track on this album.
Wow.
It goes a little long, I agree. However, I feel this is structurally the most consistent track. I feel like it does break away a little bit, but the solo is an absolute ripper. I love the solo. The chorus sounds big, a little generic, but that's passable, you know, for the time. A lot of those late 90s albums had the repetitive or the super simple choruses that just had to have that name in it. It's almost like they named the song before they wrote it, but not adding myself like that. The intro to it I absolutely love because it's got that classical guitar. It sounds like if you transposed it to a piano it would be perfect. Mm-hmm. The only nitpick I would make on this is to shorten the song a little bit, accentuate the strengths and hide the weaknesses a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But best song on the album so far for me.
What you got, Zach?
This, like, I definitely agree. I would have actually preferred to hear the intro on this on a piano. I feel like it would definitely complement the song a little bit, just a little bit better, in just my opinion. Hey, listen, we all...
Brendan is motioning like, no. I love transposing no. stuff.
Look, I'm gonna jump on Team Zach here. This song should have been... You know, this reminded me a lot of the Ghost song by the Doors. Okay. Which is my absolute favorite song. It's the only Doors song that I can name where the guitar and the piano play a harmony. Mm-hmm. And they play a harmony on the exact notes. And that's what this was. Had this gone to piano, just straight piano, because there's a lot of picking, a lot of staccato picking over the course of this mm-hmm. whole album that could have been piano. Here's where we should have had it.
Agreed.
And I will leave it at that. And we're going to move on to Cancer. You know what? No, we're not going to do this. We're just going to leave Cancer off this one. Let's just go ahead and move into the sum up. Here's how we rate these at the end of the day. It's simple. Do you want to hear it again? Spin it. Do you never want to hear this again? Bin it. That's all it is. Duncan, what you got?
I think for me, this is just about spin it. Just. I was kind of on the border because I think it's a bit of a mess. Some of it's kind of terrible, but there is a lot of really good stuff on here. A lot of quite interesting stuff. Some great guitar. I don't think the vocals are brilliant. I think some of the structures are a mess. Some of the lyrics are silly. Some of the styles clash with each other. But there is some cool, interesting stuff. And when it works, it really works. So for me, it's just about a spin it. A low spin it.
What do you got, Brendan?
Spin it with an asterisk.
Nope.
Well, okay. Spin it.
It's digital.
But if it comes on, I would not choose to put it on, but I would listen to it if we were like on a long drive or something. I'd probably listen mm-hmm. to it.
Fair enough. What do you got, Zach?
I am so on the fence with it. Like this entire time, like I am just screaming. Just Bennett, but it's such a high Bennett for me just because of the solo work
that's
on it.
Fair.
But
that's fair.
I'm still gonna have to say Bennett on it.
Well, so, I'm gonna go ahead and be the minority opinion. This is an absolute spin it for me. And I checked to see if I could get a vinyl copy of it.
Cannot. Wow.
But okay. Is it perfect?
That's awesome.
No. God, no. Does it need a lot of help? God, yes. However, I never hated anything from start to finish. It was an enjoyable listen for me. So it's one of the 18 million albums I would put on my shelf of a guitar player doing a solo record who maybe shouldn't have. But, I mean, I have Vinnie Vincent Invasion sitting over here. I mean, what can I say? I bought that 3 weeks ago. I got no standing. But with that, let's call it a day. Zach, Brendan of Abadonia, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for the absolutely ridiculous conversation about our hometown. Thank you for, you know, giving us your time and being here. Thank you so much, even doubly, for getting into the spirit of what we do here and making me look foolish, which is what I'm always hoping for, because then that way I can work less. You know, work smarter, not harder. Send an email. Get somebody on here to do my job for me.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you guys so much for the invite. It's this is not an honor for you. It's an honor for us to be on here and mm-hmm. to be able to talk to people and mingle around, not only just share our music, but share love for music in general. You know, music's a language that everybody can speak. So
agree. Completely agreed. I actually had a conversation with somebody in Sweden. He's like, why do you like this? You can't understand what I'm saying. No, but I can feel it.
Yep.
Exactly.
Every time.
Exactly.
All righty. Thank you, everybody. Normally, we have a tagline if it's a Bennett or a spin it, but we don't. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and give it the Bennett's back, the Bennett tagline. Thank you for listening to the Department of Metal Antiquities. We listened so you didn't have to.
All right.